Line, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We are live from Jack Daniel's Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena for day two of the NHL draft in Nashville. And Nashville has wasted absolutely zero time to get things moving. Already three picks so far on day two. Willie D, DeMace, how are we doing?
Hey, we're doing well. I'll tell you what.
I was a little warm.
It's 1,000 degrees.
Well, we have like four heat lamps above us here at Barrel House. We're near the Stanley Cup, so it's radiating heat as well. So I feel like we're in a tropical rainforest here.
It does feel like it.
Yeah, you can easily get a sweat in like a sauna.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, you sweat out.
I'm losing weight right now. Yeah, this is a workout.
But so I had to get a good night's sleep last night. That was we had 4 hours straight of the coverage last night.
Uh-huh.
I think David Poile, he's been in a lot more drafts than I have. I know that all the drafts I've covered, I've never seen a draft that had zero trades in it. David Poile seemed to reference. He could not remember. Now, he's been doing drafts since 1967. So
it's been a minute.
He could not remember a draft that had zero trades in the first round. So that was a very bizarre thing, especially with all of the scuttlebutt before the draft.
Do you think that is because the draft is so deep that no one really wanted to move off their space unless you just gave them something that would wow them? And we will talk about what potentially could have happened yesterday with the Nashville Predators. But it just seemed like nobody really wanted to make a move because their guy was there right at that position. So why make a move? We get our guy and don't have to deal with, you know, moving up, moving back, trying to move back up to get a guy. You know, your guys, it seemed like every team guy basically failed to him.
It was either every team that was in a position to draft where maybe another team would be interested. Mm-hmm. Either that team wasn't interested or the asking price was just too high. Mm. The Predators have made three moves so far. They've moved up in the second round to pick 43, taking center Felix Nielsen with a 46th overall pick, Kalen Lind, a left winger, and they just picked again with the number 68 overall pick, taking Jesse Kiiskinen, a right winger from Finland. I'm not going to act like I know anything about either or any of those players, but I do want to talk about last night.
Uh-huh. Because, just one quick note on that. Trade up.
They traded up to get to the 43 overall pick.
So that ended up getting them four picks in the first 50. Okay. So this is, to your point, Derek, I do think that all of the scouts and the teams really do like the board, especially and for one, a lot of people. I got to tell you, I read a lot of the Athletics coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty accurate. There were only a few guys that mm-hmm. they missed in the first round, and what all of them have said is, the first two rounds in particular, it's as deep as you know, deeper than most drafts. You want to put a label on it. It's the greatest draft of all time. Well, nobody will know that until 3 to 5 years from now where you can start doing that. But everybody seems to think the depth in the draft was really good. So it's a good year for the Predators to have a lot of picks.
Absolutely.
So I do think a lot of teams were like, well, you're offering me this or that, but we like what's there. I think that's the mm-hmm. only explanation you could have. So the Predators made the first trade of anybody to trade up to get Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
So they got two in the 40s. So they got four picks in the first 50. And, of course, they got a bunch of third-rounders. What the pick 147, doing the math, is that one of their fourth-rounders? They got a gazillion fourth-rounders mm-hmm. as well.
A fourth-round pick.
So they moved up a few spots and gave up pick 147.
Well, it's only fitting that the host team makes the first trade, you know.
Yeah.
And the new GM on the block has to make the big move to get everything going.
Absolutely.
And by the way, another theme, especially with the lack of other storylines, it was all picks. Pete said, what was going on in the draft? All they did was pick players. Well, that's kind of the point of the draft. It was kind of a sarcastic statement. But every GM pretty much went up there and saluted David Poile. Mm-hmm. It just shows you the impact he's had on the game for a long time. And they went out of their way. They said, okay, we want to say hi to our fans back at Joey's Sports Bar and wherever. Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights. And, hey, I want to salute David Poile for all these. And then there was a couple guys that made wisecracks about the Bill Bar at or the bar bill at Tootsie's.
Big week for Tootsie's, for sure. The Predators are on the clock now. We'll send it to Chase McCabe, our eyes in the sky with the 79th overall pick.
Hi, yeah. Looks like they're deliberating. There's a jersey in hand already. Kevin Wilson has that duty, but Jeff Kelty was making the picks earlier.
Does it say McCabe on the back?
It does not say McCabe. I have not been selected yet.
Bummer.
It's got an 85 and Mason.
Coming back to play hockey.
Hey, hey, you're one round better this time, Mace. Yes. You're a third round pick instead of fourth round. So, but again, they'll make that selection. But it's been fascinating to watch this, today, because the second round, it just moves fast now. I mean, we're almost halfway through the third round day two. So they just. They make it fly. The first round, a little more pomp and circumstance, for sure. But so the Predators brass deliberating right now of what they want to do is they got about a minute and change left before they have to make the selection. This is one of the slower selections I think we've seen all morning long.
If we could all take a page out of St. Louis's book yesterday. They were on the clock. They got to the podium. They announced the pick, and they were out of there. Yeah. I appreciated the efficiency from the Blues organization.
They wanted
yesterday.
To get to Tootsie's. Yeah. That was a team that really did.
Here we go.
Have a lot of speculation that they would trade one of those three picks, and they made them all.
All right, here we go. The pick is at the podium.
We think.
We also have Aha.
Yeah.
Playing.
I like that song.
Pick could potentially.
Jeff Kelty leaned up to the mic, but.
And this was a regularly scheduled pick for the Predators. This was not a move-up, correct?
Correct. Yes, this is
15. I can't keep the 13 picks straight.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
And everything else. So.
Now they're at 12.
Well, yeah,
we might have
picks.
Some movement here, guys, because Bill Daly's walked away from the podium. Jeff Kelty leaned up to the mic, but... hasn't said anything yet, and they're still kind of talking to each other. So,
interesting.
Bill Daly walked over to the pit where I guess the league is.
The fact that it is taking so long is intriguing. Yeah.
Did they pull a Minnesota Vikings of many years ago?
Oh, man.
Remember that
not.
when they lost their pick?
They didn't get up there in time.
Well,
exactly.
The clock has run out, but we just saw a piece of paper be handed. So, there looks like there could be something going on.
Predators could be trading away the 79th pick.
Would you be surprised if they did that, Willie?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I think the question is it for a current player, or is it just moving picks around, moving down?
That's what I want to know.
Like that.
How many more picks do you really need to pick up, and how much of it is a sweet deal that could include a player or a pick and acquiring kind of a bad contract, acquiring some salary? Because the Predators do have that salary cap space. So get a bunch of stuff in return.
We did hear, and I was listening to Elliot earlier, there has been another one of those trades that's kind of been the theme so far.
Mm-hmm.
Teams trying to rid themselves of some salary.
Here we go, Willie. Here's Bill Daly.
We have a trade to announce.
Okay, a trade.
Nashville has traded the current pick number 79 to Dallas for a third and sixth round pick in the 2024 draft, which means Dallas is now on the clock.
There you go.
Okay.
And third and fifth?
Third and sixth in next year's draft.
Is there just not a guy that they liked there? They didn't want to swing there? They didn't want to reach? Because if it was for a player, I'd get it. The future picks are odd to me.
Yeah. Because you may end
Well, I just think they had enough.
Next year.
That is true. They could have just felt like they did what they needed to do with the first, four picks?
So can we,
five picks now?
So should we expect, because they did this so early, should we expect more moving, forward as far as them moving out of their spot, getting future draft picks as opposed to just picking guys now?
Well, they have a lot of picks for next year. I will say that the early reports on next year's draft, mm-hmm. people are saying it's going to be a very good draft next year as well. So I don't know. Maybe like you guys were saying, there wasn't a guy that was jumping out at them, mm-hmm. and they have a chance to grab an extra pick mm-hmm. next year. You can use those accordingly. They still have a ton of picks today. So intriguing.
Because
this
is
still, we're still talking about a top 80, 79, I think is what that was. So.
Uh-huh. interesting move by the Nashville Predators. So the Preds have now drafted, is that four today? They have now taken Felix Nielsen. They traded up to number 43 overall at the beginning of the day, a center. And they've also taken Caitlin Lind, a left winger. And then with their third pick of the day, Jesse Kiiskinen, a right winger from Finland, in addition to their two picks last night. Now, the Predators have made a couple of moves today. Moved up to, for their first pick of the day, moved back with their most recent pick. Not something that they did last night. Did not make a trade last night. But according to reports from all across the NHL gurus, that was not for lack of trying. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phones as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays live out here, Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. It is draft day in Nashville, day two. It's going to be a blast. 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by the New Zen Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sportsbook app today. We are live from Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. It is the NHL Draft Day 2, and the Predators were just at the podium. So we will take it to Chase McCabe, our eyes in the sky, to break it down what it's looking like at the podium.
Yep, it's very exciting. McKinnon is now a member of the Predators. Dylan McKinnon was drafted by the Predators.
You're so wrong, sorry, Chase.
That was fun. That was fun for a second.
Yeah. You had people running off the road, Chase.
We got McKinnon.
They drafted a defenseman.
We got McKinnon. Yes.
That was when, remember they signed, Chase, you'll remember this, when they signed Yannick Weber after a couple years. Yes. It was a year or two. It was probably the year after they traded Shea Weber for PK Subban. And there was a lot of people on Twitter, we got Weber! Yannick Weber.
Yeah, different Weber. Yeah. A Weber.
So what was funny about that, Willie, is the first time that I went, there was training camp or something like that, I was in the locker room after Yannick had joined the team. And he originally, like with Montreal or wherever he was before, had worn six.
That's right, he had worn six.
Obviously
Weber
was
six.
Not going to do that here. And so I'm standing there talking to, I think it was Matthias Ekholm, and I asked about about Shea and what Shea had meant, but I was saying Weber. And I said, I was like, what's it going to be like without Weber? And Yannick looks and goes, I'm right here. So obviously had a sense of humor.
He is funny.
About it. But, so Dylan McKinnon is a defenseman, 18 years old, out of Canada, shoots right. He's down with the Predators brass right now. Talking to some of the scouts, and just met Barry Trotz and David Poile. So I'm sure Max will catch up with him in just a little bit, but that's their second selection of the third round.
And that is pick, what, 81? Is that right?
83.
83. So they have five of the first 83.
Correct.
Okay.
So that would be the sixth player drafted by the Predators in the last 2 days. One of the picks traded away for future picks in the 2024 NHL draft. Keeping track of all these picks.
I got to write this down.
It's a full-time job. It absolutely is a full-time job. But the Predators made two moves today, rather. One to move up for their first pick of the day and one to move back. The 79th overall pick traded to the Dallas Stars for picks in the 2024 draft. But what the Predators did not do yesterday is that exact thing, is make a trade. Now, we had heard all day long, really ever since Barry Trotz was introduced as the general manager of the Nashville Predators, he had been talking about taking big swings. He had talked about taking some of those big risks. And as it got closer to the NHL draft, we got more and more reports coming out that Barry Trotz was, in fact, picking up the phone and making phone calls. And that's what we heard reported really ad nauseum yesterday from all of the big guns. The Elliot Friedmans, the Darren Dragers, the Pierre LeBruns were reporting yesterday that Barry Trotz and David Poile were making calls about a top five pick. Now, they were calling a lot about Montreal's fifth overall pick, but Frank Saravalli reported yesterday that the Predators were calling the San Jose Sharks about the fourth overall pick, and part of the trade package was Yaroslav Askarov. Now, we, of course, know that was not a trade that went through. There were no trades that went down in the first round. But what are our thoughts on Barry Trotz making that call? And reportedly from Frank Saravalli last night, Askarov was part of that deal.
Well, I'm going to go by what the article in Athletic said. I mean, from Trotz, it was uncomfortable, offering, you know, as you move up and you try to position yourself to get one of these top four or five picks, he started to venture into waters. It's like it's sort of like, you know, when a kid is swimming, or say when I'm swimming, I'm an okay swimmer. I'm not a great swimmer. I'm an okay swimmer. But as I get deeper and deeper, it started to get a little bit more uncomfortable. It's like, should I be out
here? Is there an undertow out
here? Exactly. Should I be out here? Should I be?
Am I getting further away from the shore, or
should I go back in? And it seems like, based upon the article, that's where Trotsy was. You know, he wasn't scared to actually make the move if need be, but he was getting a little bit uncomfortable because the price was going higher and higher the closer you got to that number one. Now, we know he wasn't going to get the number one pick, but trying to get close, as close as possible, it made him a little bit uncomfortable. And offering a scar off, and what would he possibly have? What else would he have possibly had to offer move up even further?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I've ever seen this, guys. You tell me. Because Pierre LeBrun talked to Barry Trotz and David Poile after the draft. I don't know that you see this. This is probably the difference between Barry Trotz and David Poile. I don't think David Poile would ever say, yeah, I made the phone calls. Like most GMs say, well, we made some talk, like keep it real general. But he came out and said, I made an uncomfortable offer. And it is clear that he was talking to the Sharks and to Montreal at five. And I he did not say any names. You never hear a GM say a name. I'd be surprised. Now, if there's anybody going to do it, maybe it's Trotsy.
Yeah.
I don't know. He
Big
comes right out here. Yeah.
BSB.
So now, I mean, it's widely speculated that it was a scar off. Mm-hmm. Now, we had this question yesterday when we were doing our draft coverage last night. Was it a one for one? Because a scar off, you could argue, because he's developed now for 2 years. You've seen him. He's 2 years removed from the draft. And goalies are on a slower development path. But you're getting a more focused picture. And I don't care how good Will Smith or Matvei Michkov or any of the guys that were in that 4-5-6 range that the Predators would have been choosing from. I don't care how high it is. And Barry Trotz did say number one center. So you would have to think it was Will Smith or one of those guys that he had his eyes on.
One of those outside of the unanimous top three.
Even if you thought that guy was special, you still don't know. Mm-hmm. He's 18. Like, go through year by year and look at the top 5-6 picks. You will always find a name or two you're like, ugh. That was the, and I don't want to burn on him or anything because he was a good player for a long time. Kyle Turris was a second or third pick in the draft. You know, you're not always getting the superstar that you hope you're getting, even if it is a top five pick. Askarov, the picture is coming a little bit more in focus. So, what do you guys think? Would that have been a fair trade? One for one, Askarov for the fourth, Askarov. That would make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But were the Sharks or the Canadians saying, yeah, we need a scar off plus your first round pick or plus next year's first round pick or something like that? Like, how uncomfortable did it get?
I think given the nature of how good this draft is, really top to bottom, but really at the top, how top heavy it was. If I'm San Jose and Montreal, I'm thinking I need more than just a prospect, even though it's a developed prospect that's likely NHL ready within the next year or two. If I'm them and I'm sitting in a position that I know the Predators want to get to, that they've already offered me something uncomfortable, how far can I push them? If I'm San Jose or Montreal, I'm asking for more than just Askarov.
Yeah.
And I think yeah, go ahead.
No, go finish, Caroline.
But I think the interesting thing here, too, is why Askarov? Was Saros ever on the table?
No,
was Saros
ever a thought in
the mind of Barry Trotz?
No way.
Why?
No way. Well, you just listen to what he said. He's said he's building around Josi, Saros, Forsberg.
Yeah.
And to me, you would never trade the top five goalie you have. It's not like Saros is 33. He's 28.
He's young.
You don't trade that for any draft pick, I don't think.
No.
The draft pick, there's too much risk.
Yes, yeah, too much risk.
There's been first and second overall picks that have bombed and never played in the NHL. Like, you don't trade an established guy. We still don't know about Askarov. Askarov has a huge, huge ceiling. But Saros is a known quantity. You don't trade a known superstar for an unknown.
No, typically you will not see that happen in no sport where you're trading a guy that's, you know, at the top of his game, one of the best. We're talking one of the five best in the world at your position. You're not just going to trade him away for potential. Now, the potential could materialize
sure.
and be great, but you may have to wait some years. Why am I going to give away a guy that I can build around for a guy I hope to build around? But I'm in agreement with you, Caroline. I just don't, you know, and it said in the article, you know, what Barry was offering, he thought fit the needs of the teams mm-hmm. that he was, you know, going back, you know, not necessarily going back with, but presenting this offer to. And even with that, they said no.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that was uncomfortable. Just imagine what else he had to potentially offer. It wasn't going to be a one-for-one. He probably had to offer Askarov, which is a prospect that we know more about.
Developed,
yeah.
Sure,
but
yeah.
He probably would have had to offer a player on his roster right now.
Maybe that, or maybe a first-round, one of the two first-round picks,
right.
I might imagine. I'm not sure. Here's the other quote from Trotz, which I think was interesting, to Pierre LeBrun. The center ice position, mm-hmm. which we've been talking about,
yep.
especially with the first four guys, I thought the value was there, said of the offer. And the offers fill holes they were looking for as well, and that makes sense with both the Canadiens and the Sharks.
Which tells me they wanted
more. They don't have the goalie.
Which tells me they wanted more.
Yes. I think, I'm just completely speculating, but probably started off as, okay, would you take Askarov for the fourth and fifth? And they probably said, we need more. They may have gotten into what else could be in there.
Other prospects.
Then it
picks.
Got uncomfortable, and then they said, okay, we can't go any further. Or maybe the Sharks and Canadiens just said, no, we want these guys. Or we're not taking it.
That's what I think could be interesting is who pumped the brakes? Was it Barry Trotz and David Poile saying, look, we cannot go that far? Or did Barry Trotz and David Poile put everything on the table, and even that still wasn't good enough for San Jose and Montreal? I think that's kind of an intriguing side of this.
Or maybe, and just maybe, because I've seen this happen sort of in just business and in everyday sort of movements. When someone offers you, it's almost like that deal that's too good to be true. When someone offers you more, sometimes you sit back and say, why are they offering me this? Do they know something that I don't know? Well, let me just stay put right here. You know, I'm just going to stay put with what I got, my position, and draft a guy that we know and we love, whoever that is, as opposed to saying, oh, I take what you're offering. Well, maybe what you're offering, you know something. Obviously, you know something that I don't know, and I feel a little bit too I feel uncomfortable on my end. You may feel uncomfortable on your end, but I feel uncomfortable on my end as well.
Well, let's also speculate, and I think pretty safely, that the Predators weren't the only team calling Mike Greer and the Sharks or Montreal as well. A lot of people were calling, and so they didn't take an offer from anybody. And I guarantee you, especially with Mishkov out there, and some of the other guys, they got some phone calls on the fourth and the fifth pick. So that, to me, that's interesting that nobody – they didn't bite on anything, the Sharks and the Canadiens.
And that tells me the asking price had to have been absolutely astronomical.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't a little bummed that the Predators didn't get into the top five. And it's not just because that would have made our show a little bit more intriguing, and that's really fun for us to talk about, but also because – if Barry Trotz and David Poile were so willing to make an uncomfortable offer, then clearly there was a guy there that they thought was their guy. That there was a guy in there worthy of making an uncomfortable offer. And not getting that player, that's kind of a bummer to me. Now that we're talking about this new age of Predators hockey, when Barry Trotz is talking about getting that bona fide number one center that, frankly, this organization just hasn't had. But the one thing that I can call for kind of fall back on that gives me comfort is they tried. They made the calls. They came up with the offers. They had the conversations. You can't make a trade without a dance partner. And Barry Trotz did everything, at least from what we have heard reported, did everything in his power to try to get there.
I can
admire the swing.
Yeah. Took the swing. You swing and
sometimes you miss.
You miss, or it's a ball. You know,
right.
you go. You want to take the big swing. You just take the pitch. So we'll see. He said, when you talk about uncomfortable, it's what you think is overgiving. So in his mind, he was overgiving, and they still didn't do it. But it sounded to me like they were still willing to sort of do it. You know, like
right.
Like,
I'm overgiving, but let's do it. Or you know,
trade.
It's like,
oh, there has been a trade.
You want to know something really funny that the Preds fans are not going to lie? Corey Perry has been traded to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh boy,
the Blackhawks are just
oh, what a perfect match.
He got traded for a 7th round pick next year by the Tampa Bay Lightning, so he will be a UFA on Saturday. It doesn't mean he's going to be in Chicago, but. It seems a lot like he will.
Well,
jeez.
This is what we were saying right before the Predators made their little swapping of picks trade a few minutes ago. The Oilers traded Klim Kostin and Kyler Yamamoto, two pretty important players for them on their team last year, for nothing. It was traded for future considerations, which I learned my first year in hockey. They call future considerations Freddie Charles, which means
FC.
Nothing.
Yeah. A bag of pucks.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, essentially.
I mean, maybe sometime we'll do you a favor kind of thing. But it was just, we can't have these salaries. Kyler Yamamoto was a first or second round pick. He was he was good on their team last year. They just don't have room for him. Corey Perry is a veteran player. They loved having him in Tampa, but just not enough room on the roster for all of the salaries. They had to jettison Ross Colton. 16 goals, 16 assists for nothing. Yesterday. So these guys are out there. I'm still curious with Barry Trotz as this continues to sort itself out. Is there a guy the Predators like? You know, you don't want to take a bad player just because he's out there for free. But if he fits, then I think those guys are there for the taking. You don't have to give up anything to get him. You're just taking the contract.
That's what I want to get into coming up next. Because part of me believes, based off of all of the reporting that we saw yesterday, that plan A was trade up and get your guy of the future. Barry Trotz put everything on the table in order for that to happen and couldn't make it happen. So what's plan B? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Hal Gill will join us on the program momentarily. Also, Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and of Sportsnet. He has been a busy, busy man this week. We will meet with him at 1 o'clock. We'll get into that on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
But I've challenged our amateur scouts to get four top players for this franchise in the next two drafts. And we've got 7 picks in the top 83. We got a lot of picks for next year. We're probably going to push some of our picks to the following year and continue this process and fill our bin full with high-end prospects. And, you know, we traded a good player in Ecky to get, the Schaefer kid, who is a different type of player, who's more physical, he's big, good set of hands on him, all that. So he's different from Kemmel, and he's different from, you know, Luke here or Tomer, those type of guys. So, you know, we'll just have to look at it, but we're trying to get that top centerman. That's been, we've been 25 years trying to do that, so.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz on trying to find those players of the future. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We are live out here at Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Day 2 of the NHL draft in Smashville is now underway. So the Predators, it was very well reported yesterday by the Darren Dragers and the Elliot Friedmans, who will join us at 1 o'clock, by the Frank Saravallis of the world, that the Predators were picking up the phone about trading up for a top 5 pick. Even Barry Trotz himself was talking about some of the things that were on the table in order for the Predators to get up to a top 5 pick. And then clearly, as we saw play out last night, not a single trade was made in the first round of the NHL draft. The Predators stayed put at 15 and at 24 last night. So I have to think, Barry Trotz was so adamant, was so willing to trade up to a top 5 pick because their guy of the future, that center that they've been looking for, he thought would have been in the top 5. Didn't get there, obviously. So what is plan B? How do you get to that center of the future? They're not very easy to find. Even if you're fortunate and lucky enough to have a top 3, top 5 overall pick, that guy might not turn out to be the center that you drafted him to be. It's not easy to find a Connor McDavid out there. So what is Barry's plan B? You hope you find a diamond in the rough in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Are you a little bit more of a heavy player in a trade or free agency? where do we go from here?
Well, hopefully you hope that, you know, Cody Glass, Tommy Novak, those guys continue to improve. But I'm sure, you know, Barry is like, listen, they may improve some, but they're not going to be that centerman, you know, that prolific centerman that we need. So how do we do it? We can't do it through the draft. And he may not even be thinking, because, listen, what did he say? He said fans need to be patient with us. So it may not even be this year. Mm-hmm.
If they got the fourth or fifth pick, remember that?
Yeah,
kid,
then
that
yeah.
Even
18,
then it would still
yeah.
be 18.
Exactly.
So he might have played on the first year, but it's hard to say. Okay, you're our number one center.
Exactly. You're the guy.
The first year,
18 years old.
Now maybe Connor McDavid could have done that or did do that, but they lost. They were terrible. Sidney Crosby, the first year at Pittsburgh, they were awful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while.
Yeah.
So. It's remember the vision of really two, three years from now is really what Barry Trotz has in mind. So plan B, I think, and David Poile, another interesting quote from the article from last night that I saw and I immediately sent to you guys.
Yeah.
You just usually don't see as much openness from a GM, for lack of a better term, a little tandem right now, as David Poile's on his way out, Barry Trotz on the way in. But David Poile said nothing happened, but tomorrow – there will be a lot happening. I guarantee you that. It will be different. And we've already seen a number of picks, but most of them have the theme that we've been talking about. A team trying to – they can't really do business until they move some salary cap space. So we've seen a couple more deals like that. Edmonton made a deal like that. We mentioned Corey Perry gets moved.
Boston Chicago had to make a bunch
Chicago
of moves.
Chicago is open for business. They're
Chicago
like, okay.
is saying, all your big contracts, yeah. we'll take them.
We'll talk. They just took a bad contract from the Islanders, Josh Bailey, who's a good player, and a very good player a few years ago, but he's got a couple years left. Islanders they were up to the gills. They couldn't do business, so they moved him. They threw in a second-round pick for Chicago.
So this is a salary dump.
Just a salary dump, and then Chicago turned around and bought out Josh Bailey. They didn't even want him. They just wanted to get some salary on the books so they could get up to the salary floor. So Elliot used the term, and it's not 100% true, but for lack of a better term, he said there are a lot of, quote, free players out there. Mm-hmm. Ryan Johansson sort of was a free player, or half price, however you want to choose to put it. But there's a lot of deals going on like that. You want to take this guy off of our contract or off of our books, we'll give him to you. And we might even throw something in there for the trouble. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, what Barry Trotz can do is, in addition to stockpiling these draft picks for the future, he's got a good group that's already sort of in the development stage that are on the verge of playing. The guys we know very well now, Parsonen, Evangelista, Tomasino, on down the road, Glass, Novak, you know, guys that they want to get a better look at. But now with the salary cap space, he has the ability to look around and say, is there a veteran? Is there a veteran that we like that we can take for a very, very good bargain where we don't have to give up any of these assets we've stockpiled?
Now, do you think there's a potential trade to get that centerman?
Are you going to be able to find that guy in the fourth round?
But I'm saying trading with another team to get their centerman.
Like more of an established player.
I think that's what you're looking at. There are some centers, like Cal O'Reilly, but he's in the 30s. Like there's there's guys that are centers. There's Mark Scheifele, who is getting up there in age a little bit. He's got 1 year left on his deal with the Jets. He's a great player, but he's probably a little bit past his prime. Going to be really expensive to sign after this year. To me, that's not the sweet spot. And then there's DeBrincat, right, who's not a center, but he's a wing, and he's out there. We know that that's one that's kind of – we're waiting to see what goes, but that's going to cost you quite a bit to get him, and then you've got to sign him to a large deal. So that's what's out there. That's where I think Barry Trotz keeps coming back to. Be patient. Be patient. It may not be in the next couple of weeks that we make the big move. It might just be, look, we're building. We're building. Let's see what the young kids have. We might have to take – we might not really be in a position to win big this coming year, but we're in the position to make the big move when it becomes available.
And here's what I think. I don't think that all of a sudden, now that Barry Trotz couldn't trade into the top five and get that guy of the future, now I don't think that you can all of a sudden pivot and say, well, all right, we're going to sign Pierre-Luc Dubois to that 8x9 contract that he's been looking for. I don't think that you make that kind of move. I think that to your point, Willie, you might acquire players who gives you the best possible chance of being as competitive as you can be without mortgaging the future to do it. Couple of years, maybe guys that have, you know, big contracts, a couple of years left on them, you acquire future picks or future prospects in the process. I don't think that all of a sudden your philosophy for building this team in the offseason completely pivots just because you didn't get that, you know, that Leo Carlson in the top five of this year's draft.
Now, are you too comfortable, and even you, Nick, are you comfortable if they are not able to get, say, through a trade, get an established centerman? Are you comfortable with the guys that they have now? If they had to go into the season with the guys that they have now, is everybody comfortable with that at the centerman position?
At the centerman position right now, you would have Juuso Parsonen, mm-hmm. Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, Colton Sistens.
So are you comfortable with that pair?
I am. I'm comfortable if your attitude is, let's see if they can play. Mm-hmm. But it is also probably knowing that not all three of them are going to explode. It's a lot to ask. But, look, for a lot of the season last year, that's who was playing center.
Yeah.
And they weren't a bad team. They had more points than the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. Last year. And that was with Parsonen missing 25 games and Philip Forsberg missing basically the entire post-All-Star break. Roman Josi missed the last, 10, 15 games. So they're still a very competitive team if they did not make another move. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that will be the case. I think there'll be some more moves to support those guys. But if that's who they roll with, I could live with that. It might be nice to have one other veteran in there. Again, is there the right guy? It's got to be a guy that has not just the ability to score some goals, but is the guy driving? Is the guy a leader? Is it like Ryan McDonagh? Is he adding more than just what he gives you on the ice? I think those are the kind of guys that Barry Trotz probably has his eyes on.
The Predators are on the clock, so we will take it to the podium if we have that, Nick.
No, they already made the pick. It is Joey Willis out of the Saginaw Spirit at 111.
What position does he play?
He is a forward.
Center.
All right. All right, what do we know about Joey Willis?
We know nothing.
All right, great, wonderful. Yeah. Well, we will hear from Max Herz, who will sit down with Joey Willis as well, coming up next. Plus,
we'll find out. Max
your
will
thoughts.
Find out something about Joey Willis.
Max is going to get all the tea on Joey Willis. Looking forward to that. Your thoughts coming up next as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Our NHL draft coverage is brought to you by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 429, Electronic Express, Oil Fire Whiskey, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. 1025-1063, the game. Line, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game and the game Nashville app. Hal Gill will join the program. Also, Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and of Sportsnet will join us. He is in Nashville, and I know that he has been grinding all week long. He is on the floor. He's got the boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. So we'll get all the tea from Elliot later on. We're at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena.
We have found Hal Gill as well.
Have we?
He's on his
Hal
way to
Gill
the arena.
Is here, he survived last night, I hear. He had a night on Broadway.
He did. Well, and, you know, he's a seasoned veteran. Hal knows how to do these
He's
things.
Been around.
And he was with us. He and C-Mace joined us. We had the whole team working from 6 to 10. For that first round. So Hal and C-Mace were excellent during the draft. Hal's got good thoughts on what the Predators have been doing. So he will join us, we think, around 12:30.
If he can get himself up here. He can schlep himself up the stairs.
Yep.
We appreciate Hal for his insight.
This is one thing I'll say about Hal. As they say, he can howl with the owls at night and then soar with the eagles the next morning.
It's a good trait to have.
He's back and ready to roll. Mm-hmm. He's a pro.
A good trait to have.
Yes.
And we are out here at Jack Daniel's Barrel House. It is a packed house today. A bunch of Predators fans in the house. And, oh, my goodness, how many freaking Blackhawks fans are in the city?
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I got to say, we were talking
they're
about
they're invading our space, man. Get out of here.
when they announced the first pick belongs to the Blackhawks, there was a big set of boos, as we knew. Uh-huh. But the Blackhawks, they had enough people here, they drowned it out a little bit. It was something. I've seen a lot of Blackhawks.
My goodness.
There.
And yesterday.
They've already got the Bedard jerseys printed and going.
Yesterday, when it was about 1,000 degrees in Nashville, I saw so many Blackhawks fans wearing jerseys with Bedard on the back. I'm like, first of all, how are you not sweating? How in the world could you possibly wear that? And how quickly did you get those Bedard jerseys printed up? I mean, my goodness.
They printed those things up months ago.
Months ago. as soon as they won the lottery.
As soon as they won the lottery.
Those things were pumped out. Well, we've got a bunch of your thoughts on our text line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
And by the way, I know some people are texting us. Nicholas Petitfrère suspended for 6 games for PEDs. We will talk about that.
Not for
up.
PEDs.
No, it wasn't for PEDs.
For gambling.
Gambling.
For gambling.
Oh.
We will
Which,
get into that
We need to get
in
next. That because I got a thought on that, and the NFL is going to have to address, and the PA is going to have to address this somehow, some way.
We will get into that coming up next because I have NFL thoughts. I have Mike Vrabel thoughts. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts in the text line as well. But right now, your draft thoughts. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, veteran center past his prime, but great leadership, obviously, and probably has enough left in the tank to produce 40 to 50 points for a year or two. That's what they're looking for.
Well,
for
and he's naming Jonathan Toews.
Speaking of the Blackhawks. Yeah.
I don't know that that – see, Toews has had a lot of health issues the last few years, and so you're really not sure what version of him you're getting. Jonathan Toews lights up all the lights in the Ryan McDonagh category. Leadership, intangibles, winner. He's got all of that. I would love to have Jonathan Toews on my team. I just don't know about the health with him. That's the thing for him. And what's he looking for? He might go to a team for $1 million if it means it's a team that's loaded up and has a chance to win. So I don't know that he's the guy. It's a really interesting thought because I do think Barry Trotz, as we've said before, is looking for those winners to help these young guys, show them the way, right?
Yeah.
We know everybody, every game, it seems like we're talking about how much Ryan McDonagh, Colton Sissons were sort of setting the example for the young players like Evangelista and Tomasino, Novak, how to win. Mm-hmm. You know, when the chips are against you, you got all these guys hurt. You're going up against really good teams. How were they winning? Well, they had Juuse Saros.
Yes,
but they also had some leaders saying, stay in there. We can do this. You know, and they had a lot more success than people thought they were going to have. So if there's another guy to add to that mix, I think Barry Trotz would be interested in that.
Now, would you be concerned, because I meant this to you off air, Willie, would you be concerned in bringing in one of these veteran centermen that he can potentially take away? Not necessarily. I'm not talking about from a leadership standpoint. You're going to need veterans. But I think they got enough veterans on the front line that can be leaders for these young guys. I do believe that. But when you add a guy, would it potentially diminish that young player's sort of role, for one? But then, you know, they can't get a good look at this young guy moving forward because this veteran guy is in here and he's a presence in the locker room, which is great, but then he may be taking away ice time from these young guys that has shown that they can play in this league, but they just need more time to develop.
It's a great question that I think they will absolutely discuss. If they want to bring in a guy that is not the quote-unquote true number one center, but they want to add a veteran to the mix with these young guys, what you could do is, unlike quarterback, where you're only playing one quarterback, or even like right tackle, where you're only using one.
Sore subject today.
Sorry. You can move a center. Like Parson, for example, if you had a veteran, you could, if he wasn't ready to play center, you could move Parson into the wing.
Okay.
Maybe if Parson is the number one center, and look, I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good player. He's got, to me, the highest ceiling of any of those guys, and we know how good Novak and Glass were. Like, we're talking about trying to envision what could win in the playoffs. You know, we know these guys are good players. Like, these guys have already shown they're good. But can they be the solid down-the-middle group that you need to win in the playoffs? That's the next level that you have to find out. So you might let them play for a season just to find out. But if there's a veteran in that mix that could play center if they needed a little help there, but could also maybe move over to the wing, maybe that's the perfect guy to bring in.
Joel in Woodbury, Texan, says, I'm listening to Elliot Friedman on NHL Radio, and the Preds were trying to move up to get Leo Carlson, but once he went second, they backed off trading. Also, the Preds had Matthew Wood at number 8 on their overall big board. So
yes, and David Poile did say that. They had Wood way higher, and a lot of mock drafts.
A lot of mock drafts had him
higher. He was 8, 9, and when he was sitting at 15, they were very pleased that he was still there. But that's interesting on the Carlson front. We'll get Elliot to tell us more at 1 o'clock.
I do want to hear more from Elliot because obviously we weren't able to listen to him on NHL radio, and Elliot is just as plugged into the league as anyone. But I don't know if I can entirely believe that or buy into that simply because Leo Carlson was a consensus top three pick. Mm-hmm. So, and the Predators knew, or at least Barry Trotz and David Poile said, getting into the top five alone is going to be hard to get into, much less the top three. Now, you still have to do your due diligence. You still have to make the calls. You still have to see what it would take in case that player does ultimately fall to four or five. But didn't we think that Leo Carlson was going to be gone by at least three anyway?
The thing that we that was the X factor there was Michkov.
That's right? True. That if is Michkov true. Could have pushed him
if
down.
If somebody had jumped up to grab Michkov in the two or three, in theory, that could have left Carlson. And that was Carlson was
to,
a little bit of surprise.
Lay the groundwork.
Most people thought that the kid at Michigan, Fantilli, was going to go second. But a lot of people were buzzing and said, no, they kind of like Carlson. And then sure enough, they took Carlson at two. Maybe that wiped it out. We'll see if we can get more details from Elliot on that. But it's an interesting thought on your part. Was there one guy that they would have been willing to go uncomfortable to get as opposed to another guy that was more likely to be there at four or five?
Interesting. We'll chat with Elliot at 1 o'clock. We'll get his perspective on that. But coming up next, there have been so many stories and accounts of this in the NFL over the past couple of months. And I kept telling myself, please don't happen to the Titans. Please don't happen to the Titans.
It happened.
And it happened to the Titans. We'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.